If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more, Rex.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Goal.
All right. Welcome back to the 90th percentile. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. As always, I have my co-host alongside me. That's Matt Pajak of Loden Sports. We also have one of his close friends. That would be the executive director of the MLB Draft League. Sean Campbell. How's it going, Sean? Welcome back. It's been a while, a little over a year since we had you on the show.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
All right, Matt. You got your question, man. I'm going to tee you up here. We're going to talk some sandwiches again. We're going back to the gravy boat here. We're talking more sandwich chains.
This is a really important topic, especially with Sean Campbell on the call. All right. So I just want to throw it out there. This topic's not going anywhere. Jimmy John sucks. All right. No, I want to throw it out there that Sean was the one who put me on to Capriotti's. Capriotti's is the king of sandwich chains. Jeff, who I want to weigh in here in a second. All right. On his experience this past week with the Hot Bobby. All right. But before Jeff weighs in on his experience with the Hot Bobby, and he confirms everything that I've said in past conversations. All right, Sean, you're going to have to throw a number on Jimmy John's, ooh, Capriotti's, Jersey Michael's, and Subway.
Can I just pref them out?
I think
Capriotti's for me is the easy, like, leader in the clubhouse there. I would probably go Jersey Mike's second. Third, I would probably say Jimmy John's, and Subway would bring up the rear for me.
This guy nailed it.
He nailed it. Yeah, he's got it. We got consensus in the draft room. Right,
pre-discussed.
Now. We're taking Capriotti's. We're giving him a big bonus.
Yes. Yeah. Capriotti's good stuff.
Yeah, Jeff, talk to us about that Hot Bobby you had this week.
Sure. So I stopped for a sandwich on the way to a game on Sunday, heading out to Brewster, left the house a little early, stopped by Capriotti's, grabbed the Hot Bobby as had been suggested. I ate it right there. You know, I wanted to take in the full Capriotti's ambiance situation. I'm going to put a hard 6 on the sandwich, man. D'Angelo's has had a similar sandwich for probably about 15 years. Cause I think I used to get it when I was in college. Which is a local chain here in New England. I don't know how far out there, down south, out west, D'Angelo's is, but a solid, solid sandwich chain. I'd say it's right on par with Jersey Michael's. Maybe above Jersey Michael's, right behind Capriotti's. I'm not quite sure. Their steak and cheese sandwiches are great. The Hot Bobby itself is better than the Thanksgiving Toasted there. The one thing that the Thanksgiving Toasted has that the Hot Bobby doesn't is hot gravy dipping sauce that you get for the Thanksgiving Toasted. The sandwich itself, the tools are better on the sandwich. It's a 6 sandwich, but I would say it's probably a 50 with a Thanksgiving Toasted. But you get a full grade for that extra gravy. If they had gravy with the Hot Bobby, I think it's a 7 sandwich. I think we're talking about, like, year in, year out, all-star, potential Hall of Fame ceiling type sandwich, you know? It was good, man. It was tasty. You know, all the elements came together well. Wasn't overly messy. you know, it was stuffed enough, but wasn't falling over the side. So you were able to keep everything in the sandwich, which I think is important. You can put a lot in the sandwich, but I want to be able to eat the sandwich and have it stay intact, you know, to that last 10% of sandwich. That's a big carrying tool with me. So,
you know, Jeff, yeah. Something else that's really important is that everybody needs to know that food chains lie to you. Okay. McDonald's, it's not 100% white meat chicken. It's not. Okay. Don't let them try and make you believe that. All of this Wagyu talk, I don't know if you've seen this, all of the fast food chains, all of a sudden they've got Wagyu yes. beef. That's not Wagyu beef.
No.
Impossible. But when Capriotti's tells you that the Bobby is America's favorite sandwich, they're not lying to you.
No, it's the Dallas Cowboys of sandwiches.
Oh, America's favorite sandwich. There you go. Well, Capriotti's.
So are we saying the side of gravy is like the makeup then? Is that what pushes it over the edge there?
I think so, man. I think that it kind of is, man. You know, it's it's like speed. I don't know. Maybe it's like athleticism, right?
Yep.
Like a guy who does really well in athletic testing. Like I'm just more apt to believe it. You know, it can make up for some flaws. Maybe the sandwich isn't made perfectly that day, but I got the hot gravy, so I can dip that bottom 10% of the sandwich that's falling apart. I can dip that into the gravy, and it kind of saves it. You know, it's like having a high defensive floor. You know, even if he's slumping, if he takes his walks and he can play good defense, he's going to stay in that lineup.
Yep.
All right, so Capriotti's, if you're listening, we're going to continue to ride you on this until we get a deal done here. All right, we want you to sponsor this podcast. We're going to keep tooting your horn until you listen. I know that no one from Capriotti's listens to this, but they should.
Yeah, I mean, we have to be selling the Capriotti's brand as much as any show or entertainment out there. There can't be anybody who's doing putting in the work we're putting in for Capriotti's.
I want to put this out there too. We're on record with the guy who's running the MLB Draft League, which is in the Mid-Atlantic, and the Capriotti's originated in Delaware, and he likes your sandwich.
Yeah, we could use a sandwich provider as well. You know, pre-game meal, it'd be great. Be great.
We can connect you to the world.
Scouts are creatures of habit too. You know, they're driving around, they're looking for a good sandwich before a game.
And hey, I'm a creature of habit with the Hot Bobby.
Hey, maybe there's a scout discount, right? We got scout discounts for rental car companies. We got scout discounts for hotels.
Capriotti is the new Lululemon
place, man. Yeah. You know, 10% off if you show your MLB scout card. Like you'd get some serious business out there, man. Word of mouth would spread. Just saying. Embrace the community.
That's it.
It's the old Marriott VIP code there.
Yeah. I only fly like I only stay at Marriott and I only fly like JetBlue because I get bonus points every time I use those services. So, you know.
Love it.
Same with Enterprise. You get free rent-a-cars, you know, when I need a rent-a-car, using those a lot. Same deal. Absolutely.
Capriotti's is a free agent in this space. They don't even realize they're a free agent. We want to sign you.
100%. All right. Let's get out of the sandwich conversation now. We've done our 7 to 8 minute penance where we talk about something non-baseball related just so people tune out. For those of you who have stayed tuned in to the 90th percentile, we're going to get into the actual topic today. We want to talk MLB Draft League with Sean. This is something we were actually talking about a little bit off, you know, offline. You know, Matt and I were talking about the Cape League. We were talking about Northwoods League. There's a lot of these summer bat leagues. We've seen pre-draft players kind of get split up depending upon where they're playing. There's a lot of those guys in the Cape in the early part of the season. Talk to me about the MLB Draft League, the founding of it, and really what your goals are with the league.
Yeah, I think the founding of it, just from what I understand, coming in, you know, right before the second year of existence of it, you know, you kind of had two things transpire at once. You had the, you know, condensing of minor league affiliates, and so I think 42 were removed from affiliateship. And then I think in concert with that, you're bumping the draft back, you know, to the All-Star game. So guys needed places to play. guys wanted to continue working. Guys wanted to continue getting the bats, getting innings, working on things, making a late push. You know, maybe somebody was injured during the season, wanted to get back on the mound, show the scouting community they were healthy. And so I think that's really what led to the formation of the draft league itself. We were able to grab six teams that had lost their affiliate title, and you know, also able to provide an environment for those guys to have a place to play before the draft. First year in existence, it really was just a wood bat summer league, right? And then I think when you know, you title something the MLB Draft League and you have a bunch of kids that don't get drafted, the second half that first year was really difficult and challenging to keep roster volume at a necessary level to be able to play games, right? Especially in a competitive nature. So I think they learned a lot from that. We had a lot of guys in the second half that first year that ultimately signed with independent league teams and left to be able to start their pro career. They had exhausted college eligibility and had opportunities to go make money in this game. And so they did that. So last year we actually transitioned into that for our second half. So it's a very unique league in my point of view, where our first half really is for those guys that are trying to make an impression and a push right before the draft with the scouting community. And then that second half, we flip into a professional environment where, you know, for me, having scouted 10 years in a 40-round environment, ideally the guys that we're getting in that second half are the guys that traditionally would have been a 21st to a 40th round pick, you know. So guys that have exhausted college eligibility this year, actually, we I think have six or seven former affiliate players who've since been released. And we're, you know, getting them into an environment where they continue to play and, you know, ultimately try and get back into affiliate ball.
Yeah. And I think that it's a really difficult spot that you're in, having basically two separate leagues under the same name. And it just kind of splits it the middle point in the summer, right around the draft. And, you know, obviously this is what, year three of the league?
Correct.
Yeah, so year three, so it's still kind of early on. People are still trying to kind of figure out where this fits into the whole grand scheme of things. But there's a discussion that I kind of want you to talk to a little bit. And this is known in some areas of baseball, and most people probably aren't aware of this, but there's multiple MLB-affiliated independent leagues. And the way that it works is that players play in these leagues, and if you're in August and an affiliated club goes into a string of, you know, injuries or whatever it may be, and they need an arm or they need an outfielder, whatever it is, they can purchase the contract of a player from one of these partner independent leagues and then bring them into pro ball. So I kind of want you to talk a little bit about the independent ball dynamic, how the draft league fits, what other leagues are out there, how the body of players or the demographic of player differs from league to league, and then some of the advantages of, you know, choosing the draft league over some of these other independent ball options.
Yeah, I think, like, for me, I think there's four other off the top of my head. I think the Pioneer League, I want to say the Atlantic League, potentially the Frontier League, are all MLB affiliate, like professional leagues, quote unquote. Obviously, we have that designation. We have MLB in our title of the league itself. But in terms of the player that those leagues are attracting as opposed to us, I would say for me, just in doing it the last 2 years, trying to find players, assemble those rosters, is really, I feel like we're targeting more of the younger guys. The guys that are just on the cusp of being drafted, potentially signing a non-drafted free agent deal. So I feel like on the whole, our guys are probably younger, you know, fresher out of college or affiliate ball that we're grabbing. I do feel like the Atlantic, the Frontier, the Pioneer League generally are a year or two older at minimum than the guys that we're targeting. I think for us, like, really, you know, you try and stand out, you try and differentiate. The affiliation, I think, is key. I don't know about the other leagues, but I do know in the world of scouting, data and video is extremely important. And so I know for a fact that we continue to capture data, TrackMan, Synergy, all that sort of fun stuff daily in our first half and our second half, and continue to send that to the 30 scouting groups. I think the second half is probably a little bit more targeted at the professional scouting community, because that's oftentimes who's going to come in and try and acquire a player from us. But we try and help the guys as much as we possibly can, right? Continue to promote them via social media, continue to highlight them, continue to do, you know, players of the week and different things like that. Any subtle way that we can continue to help those guys that are playing with us get into an affiliate job, I think that's our goal and ambition. To be quite honest, like, last year going through that second half, I've been around this game a long time. I've done some cool things in this game. I thought that second half for me last year was probably the coolest thing that I've ever done in this game. Walking around, you know, just going team to team, being around the league in the second half, the guys were so appreciative that they were able to find an environment to continue to play the game that they love, right? And to be able to provide them that opportunity, I thought was unbelievable. I loved it. I think that all six teams that we have in our league loved it. And it was a huge success. And for me, the even better thing, like the cherry on top there is I think with McCarthy signing with the White Sox the other day, I think we've now had 20 guys that were with us in the second half last year that are now in affiliated ball. So we'll continue to push that, you know, push data, push video, try and drum up interest. You know, I think that, you know, part of growing is part of educating, right? And taking opportunities at winter meetings and ABCA and, you know, even when guys are at the ballpark, I think the scouts are beginning to understand that the second half, you know, what that is. Agents are beginning to understand that. So I think just power of conversation, continuing to talk about it, continuing to highlight it, I think it helps us attract, you know, a higher level of player, but also then ideally promote them to getting an affiliate job.
Yeah. And I think if you look at how, you know, coming out of the pandemic, the minor league structure has shrunk multiple times now, just in terms of the number of players that can even be signed to affiliated contracts per organization. You got rid of, you know, short season ball. So there's kind of like none of that middle ground. It's an opportunity for guys to go out, get opportunities to play in front of scouts, compete. And, you know, I think the thing that we sometimes miss with baseball is it's like, it's not all written at the draft, right? It's not all written at 18, 21 years old. There's a lot of guys that make it to the major leagues that did play independent ball. And, you know, being able to offer those opportunities at a higher level, I think, you know, is good for the game. And, you know, it's good for the health of just amateur baseball in general, and these guys getting opportunities at the next level. This is the only sport where first round draft picks don't walk into the lineup day one and have a job, right? Like in baseball, you have to earn it. You can get drafted number one overall and not be as good as somebody 5 years down the road. You got taken in the 17th round. It happens all the time. You know, you can go back to the next draft, you know, for example. But
I still, if you look back at the initial draft, which I think was 1966, it still really percentage wise has not shifted, right? Like there's still 30% of guys that are drafted in the first round that just aren't going to make it. And there are, you know, when they condense the draft, you know, from 40 to 20 rounds, I immediately go to a kid like Ty France, who when I was in San Diego, we took, I think, in the 36th round or something like that. And Ty's doing okay in Seattle, you know. So there are a lot of guys. And unfortunately, It's going to get worse next year, right? With the unionization of minor league players, you're going to go from 180 to, I believe, 165 now. So 15 players times 30 major league teams. There's going to be even more guys that really need that environment, that opportunity to continue to play, continue to develop, hone their skills. And, you know, it's something that, you know, having been a part of now for 2 years, I love it. I love giving those guys the opportunity. And, you know, even talking to some of these, fifth year guys and it that we have in the first half that, you know, we're kind of having those conversations now as you're getting closer to the draft, like, hey, it may not happen. It may happen, but it's an opportunity that if you want it, it's there. And if you do happen to be drafted or get a chance to sign a non-drafted free agent deal, I'll be the first one to give you a high five, right? But if that opportunity doesn't present itself, you know, we'd love to have those guys in the second half.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. That's why I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America. It allows me to do everything on one website. I get quality candidates. I can schedule them. I can interview them. I can screen them. I can send messages to them, all within Indeed. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, and you talked about how 20 dudes from last year in that second half have signed pro contracts with an affiliated ball. Like, that's such a ghost storyline, you know? Like, so that's your league, and then there's these three other affiliated leagues that are signing players into pro ball too. I think that's just something that needs to be accentuated a little bit more with these kids that, like, you know, you said it with, like, Ty France, right? Like, I think of Kevin Kiermaier. Kevin Kiermaier isn't getting drafted in the current environment, and that's probably one of the greatest defensive center fielders to ever play the game. Yep. Right. But I think that's just a really important thing to kind of, like, put up on the table here for a second and just talk about is, like, hey, look, like, go play in the MLB draft league in the second half. They're going to pay you. There's a chance that you're going to get signed into affiliated ball. And what you're talking about here with the condensing of the minor leagues, and that's why the MLB draft league exists. And that's why, you know, the Pioneer League is now an independent league, as opposed to, you know, the same thing with the Appalachian League is now a collegiate summer league, right? Those were affiliated teams that are now markets that still have baseball. It's just not affiliated professional baseball. But I think all of it is creating a pipeline where now playing indie ball doesn't mean, oh, I play indie ball and I don't have a shot. Now indie ball is like, that's knocking on the door to affiliated ball as opposed to being on the outside looking in, right? So even though affiliated players are going to continue to condense, and we're going from 180 to 165, and that's a further condensing from a much bigger condensing a couple of years ago, like those players can still go play somewhere, get paid, and get opportunities. And again, I think that's just a really important part to focus on. But I do want to shift the page here because there's something really exciting coming up with the MLB Draft League, and kind of get away from the second half part. Let's focus back on the first half. For the first time ever, you guys are doing a prospect game. I want you to talk a little bit about the players that you got in your league this year. Compare that to last year. Let's talk first half stuff, right? The evolution of the league from year one to year two to year three, and then kind of like where you see it going moving forward. And then we'll get into the prospect game a little bit and kind of some players that have stood out here in the first half. Bird's eye view, the evolution of the league now in year three.
Man, I think like for me, this is a wide ranging topic, wide ranging conversation. I think like we continue to grow. I think we continue to try and build ourselves as a brand. I love the fact that this year we had all six of our managers possessed some form of Major League Baseball experience, right? Four of our managers are former players at the Major League level. Two were coaches. One specifically was a manager at the Major League level. So I love the experience that our managers all possessed. I think 14 coaches that we had this year in the league had Major League Baseball experience as player or coach. I think we're at 20 that have professional baseball experience, whether that's minor league or major league experience. So I love how we built our coaching staffs this year. I think evolution wise, we continue to, you know, try and do better on the player side. You know, we had 10 guys, over 10 guys, I believe it was 11 or 12, that went to the combine this year. We had zero last year. So I think that's a positive step in the right direction. I love the fact too, from just health, growth of the game aspect. Griffey has his all-star game this year up in Seattle for HBCU players. We have 9 guys that played with us in the first half that'll participate in that game. We have 6, I believe, that are coming to us in the second half after that all-star game to play on the professional side with us. So I just think like overall for me, for us as a league, you know, you're always trying to enhance player experiences, what we're offering the guys, what we're providing. I love the fact that we, you know, crossed over and were able to add a supplement company this year and get these guys some things for recovery. And shout out to CB Supplements for providing that. We were able to achieve gym access across the league for guys for free. And if they want to continue to work out, recover, you know, whether they're at home, on the road, we layered that in this year. We continue to layer in additional tech into the league. Shout out to HRD Bats this year for being the bat provider of the league. And I think if you're talking about enhancing player experiences, you're always trying to beef up swag. So that's something we're continuing to work on. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is the players, right? Like just continuing to promote, highlight those guys in any way we possibly can, whether it's, you know, vehicles like this or social media, specifically on the website, different things, and just try and daily, I think, you know, make subtle incremental gains, you know, however we possibly can. Like I love being out in the league. I love talking to the guys, being in the dugout, being on the field with them, BP, bullpens, hearing, you know, their experiences and, you know, what we did good, but probably more importantly, what we potentially could, you know, benefit from their information and insight and do better next year. So, I think as a whole, bird's eye view, probably a large expanse of bird's eye view, but I do feel like we're moving the needle in the right direction in that term. So I think the prospect game specifically, or the player, I guess, as a whole for us in the first half, a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of burning the candle at both ends of the spectrum. You know, trying to lean on, you know, every resource possible. I think the value of being a good human being and, you know, treating people the way people would want to be treated, a lot oftentimes I get that reciprocated. So still have a lot of friends in the scouting community that, you know, from August, September have continued to recommend names and, hey, have you seen this guy? Have you heard about this guy? And, you know, ultimately assemble a quality buffet line, right? Like not everybody likes steak, not everybody likes pork, you know, spare ribs, things like that. But we've tried to really dip into different areas, right? Like we've got some guys that maybe didn't throw in a starting role at a Power 5 T1 this year that have hopped in with us that we've given them the opportunity to start. Given some high school guys the opportunity to play with us in the first half that may not be on everybody's radar, that maybe, you know, suspects more than prospects, given those guys the opportunity to go out and play and get at bats and get innings. So really, you know, you try and really hit it from all angles. I love the fact that not only our roster is in the first half, but also the prospect game rosters, I think, reflect that. We've got high school kids. We have junior college kids. We have Power 5 kids. We have D3 guys. We have NAIA guys, right? Like, I think the old adage that I always took as a scout was, you know, if you're good enough, we're going to find you. And I think, like, we're really trying to take that mentality with the player that we're attracting in the draft league as well. So I love integrating the high school guys, because for me, there's really no downside, right? If they come to us and scuffle a little bit and ultimately end up on a college campus, I think they're going to be better off for it. I think they're going to be ahead of the game. I think they're going to be more apt and equipped to compete right away for at-bats or innings as a true freshman. And, you know, you talk about the challenges and how college rosters has been impacted with COVID and, you know, guys, there's 23, 24-year-olds still on college rosters, right? So the young kids coming up to us that ultimately land on a college campus, I think they're better off. I think from the data side, the video side, it helps, you know, junior college kids. It helps smaller school kids that may not have a TrackMan unit. You know, they come to us and they show some super interesting IVBs or, you know, batted ball data. I think it's helpful in scouting decision-making processes, the way, you know, models are formed nowadays. So yeah, I was excited about the rosters in the first half coming in. I'm excited just the same as the second half rosters. You know, we're getting ready to have those guys report July 5. Got some interesting names there. The prospect game is a first ever for us. Mm-hmm. And I'm super excited about that. So, you know, I hope that some of the guys that are in that game, you know, it's kind of a carrot at the end of the summer for those guys. And my hope is that they take advantage of that opportunity. And, you know, .com's covering it. The network's covering it. You know, having been a part of draft rooms where we've always, you know, used to have regional games being piped in and watching stuff. Hopefully it's a great environment to make a late push for those guys as well. So
excited. Yeah. And I know this is something and you touched on it in there that both Jeff and myself will appreciate. Cause we had an off air conversation before this regarding creativity with summer baseball leagues. And you've definitely taken a creative approach, and I kind of want to use this as an opportunity to shine a light on that a little bit. You know, the league was designed for guys who are draft eligible to go there before the draft. And a lot of draft eligible college players are still going to the Cape. Right. And there's not really a whole lot you can do about it. You can tell people like, hey, this is where they're supposed to go, and they're going to make their decisions. You have some really interesting players in that league. You touched on it before that you're bringing in some high school guys that might not be top 100 MLB draft, you know, pipeline ranked guys. But you brought in a guy, Isaiah Drake, who we'll touch on here in a second, who really toolsy and lit the league on fire, and he's a Georgia Tech commit. His chance he ends up on campus, but big opportunity for him. And then, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, you've had the past 2 years guys come over from Asia who are technically international eligible at any point to sign free agent contracts. So, yeah, it's a little spicy, and it definitely takes on like a little bit of a creative approach, but I think that, you know, makes the league very unique in that it's willing to kind of adapt to what's, it's not telling people what you are. It's adapting to what the world is presenting you and, you know, making lemonade out of lemons. So yeah. Talk about Isaiah Drake, talk about the guys from Asia.
Yeah. I think so. So last year we did bring in three kids from the MLB China Academies. And you know, if you ask me about a success story last year, that was one of them. We had a left-hand pitcher named Zach Ginn, who came over at 16 years of age, took his lumps, kept taking the ball, getting better. And, ultimately the Padres signed him. So that was a lot of fun. It was fun seeing how they transitioned here. It was fun seeing, you know, the manager in Frederick at the time was Joe Oliver, and you know, they bought him a birthday cake when he turned 17, and everybody sang him happy birthday in the Frederick clubhouse. And so it was, again, man, like you're talking about being creative, you're talking about like providing experiences and opportunities that may not be available on a daily basis. You know, that was one of them. I think same thing this year with Dennis Kasumba. You know, extremely unique opportunity for us to bring in a catcher from Uganda and be a part of getting him over here, getting him into A, the U.S. and then B, the draft league. But it, you know, that's been a tremendous experience for him to see him pick him up in the Atlanta airport and all the experiences of you know, trains going from terminal to terminal and having no conductor, as Dennis put it, you know, being a part of him riding escalators up and down for the first time in his life, being a part of him riding an elevator and squealing when we started going up for the first time in his life. It's been great. And I think on the baseball side, Rene Rivera is his manager, former big league catcher. And Dennis is a catcher. I think he's learned a tremendous amount, developed a ton behind the plate. You know, Jock Jones is the hitting coach there. I think Jock's done a tremendous amount with his swing, with his confidence, and, you know, swinging the bat with more conviction. And you're beginning to see that, you know, because we have Diamond Kinetics, we have Rapsodo hitting units, we're able to see those positive gains reflective in the objective data. So that's been tremendous. But yeah, I think even, you know, Chen Wei Lin, you know, this year, Chinese Culture University in Taiwan, 6'9", right-handed pitcher, you know, rumors that he had been up to, you know, upper 90s, maybe even touched 100, comes to us, you know, has gathered, you know, additional teams that are interested in him, provided him the opportunity to start, which he didn't get at his school in Taiwan. And he's taken the bull by the horns and run with that opportunity. You know, the last, I think, two outings for him have been 4-5 scoreless. Walks have significantly gone down. As he put it, ball control was his main objective in developing in his time here. And I think he's done that. I think he's condensed in his last two innings his amount of walks to one. You know, been up to 99 multiple times. Got tremendous horizontal break on his fastball. Changeup's got a good feel for secondary, you know, sliders kind of coming at the more opportunities that he has to throw it. But that's, I think, you know, and again, the creativity here domestically, just high school guys, Isaiah Drake's advisor reached out and said he might have interest in coming to us. And for me, it was a no-brainer. It was an easy yes on our end. But I think, him, Ethan Mendoza did a tremendous job as a high school hitter in the league this year. Devin Saltaban coming from Hilo to us was a combine guy. I think he had a tremendous experience with us. So yeah, you're trying to think outside the box, but I think that's part of growing, right? Like we've got to look at different nooks and crannies and areas of opportunities that we can continue to improve quality of player that we're attracting, which I think is then going to lead to scouting community paying attention a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you guys had some success stories from last year's draft, too. J.P. Macy, Pirates pick in the 7th round, is actually going to be with me next week at the Futures game out there in Seattle. I think that's a testament to how well he's played. One of my favorite prospects in affiliated ball was a 12th rounder by the Astros last year in Zach DiCenzo.
Yeah.
There's some analysts and folks that think he's a potential top 100 prospect right now. It's up in Double A. He's mashing, hit 400 or something in A ball prior to getting the call up to Corpus Christi. You know, he's gone from off the I do the Astros list for Baseball America. He went from off the Astros list coming into the season to a top five player in that system. You know, in a year that they had a full draft for the first time in like 5 years, right?
Yep.
So it's not like he was competing against the weak field as much as other guys had. I think it just goes to show that there's opportunities, there's players here. There's sometimes there's guys that, whatever, they don't fit into the neat little box, right? We see that with a couple of guys that are in the big leagues right now that are really successful that were senior signs and draft eligible in 2020 that didn't get picked, like an Andrew Abbott or a Bryce Miller. So I think the opportunities being out there, not only for guys that are going to get drafted, but for some of these guys that, you know, might stick around for the second half of the season, come in and play in the second half of the season. There's a lot of talent there and, you know, players that we could look back on 5-6 years from now that had tremendous success stories coming out of the MLB draft league. So
it's really I think the DiCenzo was, you know, one for me, just batted ball data, you know, the way that he impacted the ball in our league. For me, obviously putting bat to ball, you know, better, I guess, as he continues to grow in the box. But for me, just the way he impacted the ball, it's not surprising for me that he's moved into Houston's, you know, top 10 prospect list. I think Cedric to Grand Prix last year, you know, Atlanta Braves, you know, he continues to throw the ball well. I think he continues to climb up their list. You know, a guy like Caden Tranquil, who, you know, struggled to consistently get into Okie State's lineup last year, came to us, swung it back good. I think Jed Jerko last year made some really good mechanical adjustments and they had some really good, just, I think, general hitting conversations. You know, he's swinging the bat all right. Ochoa, I think, was a Canadian post-grad kid, was the highest pick for us last year in the draft league in the 6th round. You know, he continues to get his feet on the ground in Washington's system. So definitely, I think, to your point, good players. You know, the fact that we're over 100, I think it's 150 now, that have signed affiliate contracts in the last 2 years. I think 139 of those alums are still active in Pro Bowl. I think it's a testament to, you know, the continued quality of player just, you know, growing. So definitely, definitely good players in the league. And I hope that, you know, we can continue to push that needle. I know we had 39 picks in 21. I think we moved that needle to 47 last year. And, you know, ideally we get in the 50s, 60s, you know, come this 2023 draft.
Sure. Matt, anything else you wanted to pepper Sean with?
Yeah, the prospect game.
I was going to ask about that too.
Have to tell us the rosters, but who are you excited to see in this game?
Man,
where can they watch it? When is it on?
Yeah.
It's July. So it's July 5, 6:35 first pitch in the Trenton Thunder ballpark. I believe .com and the MLB network are supposed to be covering it. So they'll be able to get a peek there. For me, I think this in and of itself could be a full podcast because there's a lot of guys I'm excited to see and continue to see. So we obviously have six teams, kind of divide and conquer. We wanted to ideally as best as we could to equally represent each team throughout the league. So we paired up the Frederick Keys, State College Spikes, and the West Virginia Black Bears onto one roster. That'll be Team Tremblay. Dave Tremblay is the manager for us in State College. So he'll be the head honcho there. Rene Rivera will serve as a hitting coach, and David Carpenter, former big league pitcher, will be the pitching coach on that team. Their roster specifically, Brady Chirkonwick for me is as a catcher, having won the junior college Triple Crown. He continues to show good swings, good receiving skills, throwing skills. Excited to see him more. Irvin Escobar is a catcher that continues to receive well. He's actually really swinging the bat good. High contact rate, very good, swinging the bat inside the strike zone, not chasing a ton. Brennan Orff. Brennan Orff is a first base outfield that has swung the bat well, thus far. In his time in the league, Ariel Antigua is a high school kid that missed a vast majority of his high school season, if not all of it, due to a knee injury, came to us. I happened to be in Frederick during his first BP, and Renee looked at me and says, "Hey man, little guy's got some pop." And I think Ariel's continued to swing the bat well, continue to defend. He's bounced between shortstop, second base, playing well defensively. Kendry Maduro is a junior college kid, originally from Aruba, has lit this league on fire, leading in, I think, batting average, OPS. Has played some short, played some third base. He's swung the bat really good. Excited to continue to see him. Cam Buford, AJ Schaefer, excited to see those guys continue to swing the bat well. RJ Johnson, JC guy down in Florida, and then the arms on that team. You're talking like, Jack Maruskin's a little bit on the older side, but a guy that's been, 94, 96 each time out, touching 97, high whiff rates, good spin on the fastball. Slider's got a ton of chase. Jacob Odell's a junior college kid from down in Southern California, who's been up to 99 multiple times. Had talked to scouts that have seen him this year in the spring, and inconsistent strike thrower, but has done a much better job of putting the ball over the plate. Corey Vaughn's a guy that's got a good arm. Been up to 96 with us. Over 2,700 spin on the fastball. Matthew Linsky, good downhill angle, high whiff rate, reliever out of Rice, Conry Peters, Chris Barraza, Gabe Starks. Like there's, Carlson Reed is going to pitch in that prospect game. Had some great, conversations with Carlson at the combine, and, he's been thrown out of the bullpen at WVU primarily. We've put him in a starter role. And I think that's where he mentally sees himself, right? Everybody talks about his fastball and the velocity of it. And they talk about the slider that's got, 2,900, 3,000 spin on the slider, but he loves his changeup. And, we've given him that opportunity to start to be able to throw that more consistently in game. And I think there's some people that have taken notice on that. Flipping to the other side, you've got the Mahoning Valley Scrappers team, Trenton Thunder, and the Williamsport Crosscutters. As much excitement for me on that side of the equation as well. Ryan Ignofo's a older guy that has played middle infield. He's actually pitched some for us. He's played first base. He's got a lot of versatility, and he can bang. He has swung the bat really, really well. Highest contact percentage in the league. So I'm excited to see him. Colton Coates is a high school hitter, switch hitter, shortstop from down in Mississippi. He swung the bat really good. He's hitting 360, I think, right now. Highest contact percentage for guys over 45 plate appearances. Limited chase rates with him. So I think he's done a really, really good job, and I think he's opened some eyes. Zaborowski has swung the bat well. Again, low chase rate, high octane coming off the bat. Joe Sullivan has been really hot the last couple games, specifically, 110 mile exit velos and 112 and 420 foot home runs. I love Joe, watching him run around the bases. He's an athletic kid, good swing. Sean Smith, a guy that impacts the ball really well. Stanley Tucker, Texas A&M, he's played center for us. He's played shortstop for us. Versatility, athleticism. He's done a good job. I think he's second in the league in stolen bases right now. Sprays the ball to all fields. If you look at his spray chart, he's probably 30-35% in every direction. And again, for me, these guys, like, arm wise, it's going to be a tough night, I think, for hitters. But Andrew Lucas, I mean, shoot, is it nearly 70% whiff rate on his slider each time he throws it. Alec Rodriguez out of the Trenton Ball Club, high spin fastball, good velocity. Donnie Evans, came to us after UNC Charlotte's run. He's throwing a ball good, peaking at 96. Jank Diaz is a high school kid that unfortunately couldn't pitch for his high school in Pennsylvania. He's originally from the Dominican Republic. He's been, one of the more popular names in the league this year, 94, 97, high spin slider. Titan Hayes, a high octane bullpen arm out of San Jack. It's been up to 98 this year. I think he's probably got one of the higher average fastball velocities. Jack Winninger and Jack Crowder are both arms out of Illinois that have thrown the ball well. And then you got bringing up the rear is the big lefty from UK and Kentucky and Matt Cotto. So excited to see him. We can ever get a game off in Mahoning Valley with rain and Canadian wildfires, Mag's going to be taking the ball in a starting role for us here in the next day or two. But excited to see him throw. He was a guy up to 97 at the combines, big bodied lefty that has got a pretty sound delivery. Started the Cape League All-Star game last year, I believe. Indeed. So excited to see him as well.
Yeah, he was really good last year out here on the Cape. So, and there's a lot of these guys that you mentioned, guys that were on the Cape last year and then, are in the draft league this year. Get a little more exposure, and, some of that depends upon how their season shook out. Matt, any other questions you wanted to throw Sean's way, or do you want to wrap it up here? Tell people to go watch.
We can wrap this thing up. Before we throw Sean out the window, that game sounds like it's going to be really interesting. Sounds like you guys have had a lot of velocity in the league this year. So if some of those guys can figure out how to throw it over the plate, I think there's a lot of really interesting players there. And then I think on the position player side, it's been a lot of really interesting tools, athleticism, the whole nine. I want you to take off your MLB Draft League hat for a second, put back on your scout hat from the time you spent affiliated. And I know you like every player in that league like a child. All right. But you can take one pitcher with you and you can take one hitter with you from your former professional opinion. What do you got?
Oh, man. I don't know that I could take just one. I mean, I'm
right answer.
I'm looking. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at even guys that aren't in that prospect game because, they maybe came to us early and left or didn't come back after the combine. But, Isaiah Drake, I think, did a great job. I love Salty's, just makeup tools. Zach Thornton threw the ball well in his couple starts, just command, polish, college lefty, Jack Moss. I don't think he swung and missed one time when he was with us in the league. Very rarely do you pull up TrackMan data and look at contact percentages. And, this guy's floating out 100% contact rate. We touched on Ethan Mendoza, played great. Ryan Burchard, shout out to Niagara County. Man, that guy came to us and threw the, I'll keep this PG. He threw the ball really well. It was 95, 98, banger, true curveball, 82 mile an hour curveball with 3,000 spin on it. Parker Burgess threw the ball well. Canadian post-grad kid, Jeremy Lee threw the ball well. Cale Lansville, Gant Starling. Those are guys that had been with us throughout the year that aren't going to be in the prospect game. But I don't think I can take just one. There are too many interesting arms, and there are too many interesting bats. And I just, again, when you're talking about assembling a buffet line, I just hope that the pro community, can fill up their plate ultimately.
Listen, the storm's coming. The ark has been built. I asked you to take two. You didn't answer the call. They're all going to drown.
No, they're all going to swim.
There we go.
They're all going to be just fine. So yeah. you know me, man. I treat each and every one of these kids like my own little guy. And, I care a lot about them. I want to see what's best for these guys. And I just hope that they get the opportunity to continue their career and, continue their developmental pathways. So, hopefully the time that they spend with us has been good. It's been informative and educational. And I know, these guys night in, night out, the coaching staffs are trying to pass along as much wisdom as they possibly can. So, but you do highlight one thing, Maddie. I'll just throw this out there. I think I looked the other night and there were like 53, 54 guys that had peaked at 94 or beyond in terms of pitching velocity. So there has been a lot of velocity in this league this year, which I think is good to, challenge the hitters. And, Salty was telling me at the combine, like, best fastball he saw in Gila was probably 89, 90. And, he's facing 92, 95 every night. Starting roles, bullpen roles, it challenged him. And I think that was good for his development personally. But I also think it was really good for the scouting community to see him be able to handle velocity.
Well, I do think that our audience probably falls under the baseball net category or demographic, but I think we covered a whole lot on the MLB Draft League here. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is that if, 6, 7, 8, 9 more people now are aware of the league and what the league is, how it's structured, how it's grown, all of the exciting things around the league, that can only do good things for the league. So,
for sure.
Jeff, you got anything else?
No, agree. This was really insightful. I think it's something that I personally have some interest in and something that needs to get more exposure, talked about a lot more. I think that prospect game is really interesting, could bring some of these guys to the forefront. We've seen a lot of the talent come out of it. And I want to commend Sean. You put him on the spot there, Matt, and like a good parent, he answered and didn't play any favorites. He named as many names as he possibly could of players. To not play favorites or get anybody upset. So I commend Sean in doing so.
But to that point, Jeff, you touched on it earlier, and I've had a lot of conversations since we've began kind of formalizing this prospect game roster. Like there's guys that when you talk about taking in MLB's thoughts and opinions, the scouting community, and everybody else involved with this league, there's going to be guys that don't play in that game that are going to get drafted. There's going to be guys that get an affiliate opportunity that don't play in that.
Sure.
Game. And I'm sure there's probably going to be a minor league all-star, a big leaguer that didn't get picked, so it's the nature of the beast. I don't think anyone's on the selection identification trend line has ever batted 1,000. So
no doubt.
Absolutely not. But Sean, thank you as always. He is the executive director of the MLB Draft League. For Matt, for myself, thanks for tuning in, guys. See you again next week.
Appreciate it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.